Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today's podcast is a great one. We are interviewing Jen Kim. Jen is a marketing branding expert. She wrote this book, The Unicorn Team. We're going to read and hear all about it. And Jen was named a top brand strategist by Forbes magazine. She is really the mastermind behind many innovations that have actually already changed your life. You just don't know it. She led the team that invented streaming video technology, and she innovated winning ideas with leadership teams, including big ones like Oprah, Winfrey Network, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and Oracle. And a lot of New York Times bestselling authors, speakers, businesses. So she really works with thought leaders. And I think one of the best things about Jen is she's going to teach us how to build your unicorn team with your really important leadership, you know, your own leadership skills. So you can't be a thought leader and do it all by yourself. You have to have a team. So she is originally from Hawaii. She now lives in the Bay Area with her husbands and kids and comes to visit me once in a while. So welcome to the podcast, Jen.
Dr. K, I'm so grateful to be here, especially knowing how busy you are so that we can have this chat today.
This is exciting. It's taken some time, but you've done more than 200 podcasts so far to publicize your amazing book.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's again, it's like the more you get in the seat, the better you become at it, right? It's one of the things that I kind of live by is repetition is the mother of mastery. And so you're never going to do it perfectly, but if you just keep showing up, you start to sound like you know what you're doing.
Well, tell us some of the secrets of building your unicorn team. Like,
yeah.
I need to hear this. I'm always working on better building a team around me that helps clone my thoughts and my ideas.
Yeah. You know, when I was approaching publishers with this book idea, you know, they really wanted me to write a book on messaging. They were like, you know, what people really want from you is a book on messaging. And that's what a lot of people come to me for in my specialty as a brand strategist and futurist. But what I told them was, here's the thing, I'm going to write that book, but I need to write this book first, because I think what a lot of people don't understand about brands and about even bringing an idea to life, and even if that's in the form of a business, or even if like you want to become more influential in your place of work, it's actually about the humans that are on the team. And that is something a lot of times we don't associate with brand. We associate brand with like personal brand and then your own individualism and maybe even social media, or you associate team with like operations. And although those are true, my come from in this book, this different way of thinking that I want readers to take away, is that each person on the team, whether it's the founder, in this case, in your practice, Dr. K is you, which if you guys all follow Dr. K, because I've been for a long time, even before I became a patient and a client of hers, I was stalking her on social media. I was really reveling in how much she was able to produce and still be a clinician, like with the people. And then I could tell, like, doing work and putting things on social media and getting it out there takes not just the individual leader's fortitude and energy, it takes making sure that the ecosystem of humans that are around her is working. And so that's an example of if you're listening to Dr. K, whether you've found her because you're another, let's say, clinician who has learned from her how to do an impeccable job with patients and their results and their transformations, or you're an actual client or patient that comes in to see her, I think what you'll notice is that something about Dr. K and her fortitude and her energy is allowing her to be able to do more. And that's what my book is about, because a brand and a business requires that energy. The book is actually more about energy than it is about time or money. Now, there's a lot of books on time and money, but I wrote this book about what is the leadership energy required to, again, bring new ideas to the world, start up new things, get more people to know you, like you, trust you. And that doesn't just depend on the founder or the person who's at the center of the story. It actually has to do a lot with the other players on the team. And it's our separation of the leader from the other people that's a big problem of why some brands take off and become successful, and those that stutter and stop and get put on the side. And now, because we live in a world where content creation and people's attention spans is about the size of a gnat, it's really actually important for it's the people who can't run out of steam. Interestingly, like you can put a lot of things in place for productivity, like even AI and automations and systems, and you need those things. These are important for productivity, but it's the humans that actually move the ideas forward. Because here's the thing, AI is not going to buy our services. AI is a service provider to our businesses and our brands. So we need other humans to buy our stuff. And in order to do that, we have to become better leaders. And the people on our team have to become self-regulated and find the energy themselves to also want to win together so that we can achieve goals together. And so that's what this book is about. And that's the way that I want you to think about leadership, because I think that people hear leader and all they think of maybe Dr. K is somebody like you or somebody like me. Oh, Jen wrote a book. Oh, Jen's running a company. Oh, Dr. K has a practice. Dr. K has an amazing social media following. If people don't understand that actually it's about who are you hooking your caboose to? Like, because some people are visionizers, as I talk about in the book. They are people who have a big vision and they have the energy to push it forward. And then there are the people that are strategizers and mobilizers in the book. And these are the people on the team whose job is to make sure that the mission continues to move forward through excellence, through to upholding the values of the company and the founder, and all those things. So that's why this book, I think, is different. It's about energy, and it's actually at the heart of why brands fail or succeed. And when you're writing a thought leadership book like this, its job is to make you think differently about something you thought about before as different. So
So
hopefully
how do you know?
that'll
So if
be.
you need for your legit unicorn team, you're saying we need a visionizer, a strategizer, a mobilizer. And like how do you identify those personality types? Like when I'm doing and I'm finding these nice people that want to come work here, who is what? It takes so long to figure out just the basics of their personality.
Well, the good news is I actually have a tried and true assessment that's inside of the book. It's called the Unicorn Leadership Team Assessment. And it's called, so ULTA, it's like the ultimate assessment to help identify people's what I call energetic leadership type. Now, there's a leadership type and then there's skills. So you do have to hire for skills. You want people who have the skills to perform the role that you need on the team. But you also have to know that if you need a job, let's say for a technician who you need to know has both the analytical and precision skill set and also has the clinical skill set, you do need those things. But you also need somebody who doesn't run out of steam when times get tougher, when let's say you have a packed schedule and they need to jump in, that they can find the self-ownership to do that. And those are what I call mobilizer and strategizer qualities. And so this assessment inside of the book allows you to, I tell a lot of people who run teams, have everyone on the team take the assessment, see where the balance of mobilizer to visionizer energy is. Because Dr. K, you are definitely what I mean. I don't know if you've taken the ULTA, but
I haven't yet, but I know.
I want you to take it because I have a feeling that you are an MV or a VM. So what that means, and I could be wrong, but I'm usually not because I've been doing this now for 25 years. I can usually spot kind of
I'm
what
gonna
their
trust you. Yeah,
leadership
you're
type is.
probably right.
So Dr. K, if that's true, what that means is, for you, you're high visionizer and you're high mobilizer, meaning that's why you can get so much done. You are a doer, but you have a big vision. And that's why you can operate in a space with a lot of ideas, whereas most people can't. Most people are like, they either have the ideas and they can't execute them, or they just do things and they lose sight of their vision. A VM is, that's why I see you as, you're probably a VM. You have high skill, obviously, in your field of work, but you're also big on learning new things and then quickly jumping in, figuring it out, and then adding it to your vision. That's what a VM or an MV leadership type is. Now, The flip side, though, or the shadow side of that identity, because now we're going to talk about identity. These are kind of like your energetic identities, is that no one can keep up with you because you are such,
This is so accurate. I can't believe
right?
it. Yeah.
Right. And so when your
A
team,
little bit of ADHD too.
totally, but and so when your team understands and accepts and embraces that this is the way you're built, like this is the way you're built, and you're not going to shift that. That's not going to change no matter what. And then they understand their own energetic type. So what you probably need, because I bet you have a lot of M's on your team, and most teams need more M's than they need V's for sure. M's are the mobilizers. They're the people who get stuff done. They're the people who make sure things happen. But if you have too much M without S, so the strategizer energy is like that they can think through 5 steps ahead. So if you're an M, you're a person who just gets things done. You want to close all the loops. You can't stand if there's too many tabs open, you know, all of that. But the problem with M's that they never really understand when they're on a team is that they don't usually apply strategy to like, oh, what does my day look like? How do I get more done out of the day smartly, right? Not because they're not smart, but because they're more focused on the checklist than they are on reading between the lines. So the S energy is reading between the lines, and that's what I am. I'm an SV, so I'm a strategizing visionizer. And so I'm really good at picking what's important and then making it happen, and you know, and then directing team to like make it happen. The S's are big on results. The M's are big on accomplishment, and the V's are big on their ideas. And so when we say you don't need a V, an S, and an M on your team, what you need is a mix of them. So you need to understand the composition of energy types on your team. So the assessment in the book really helps. I really recommend anybody who's leading a team, even if it's a team of you and a part-time person, to take the assessment and then talk about it once you get the report, because the assessment actually gives you a 47-page report on you. And when teams share, oh, this is kind of how I'm motivated every day to show up, to do my job well, to feel like I'm a part of something bigger than myself. And then, but I also feel this individual like sense of accomplishment and contribution. That's when you start to see more energy. And I always say, like, what you want on your team is not perfection. What you want is to achieve what I call unicorn energy. So unicorn energy is the energy of like there's this flow state, like you understand what's happening, and you start to read each other's minds a little bit more over time because you've stayed in it. And a lot of teams, you know, part of the most expensive part of running a business or bringing a new
Oh, what happened to our connection?
Attrition, just like client
Sorry, I
numbers
think
is.
your connection dropped for a second there. We lost you. Your image is frozen.
Is it not working?
You're frozen. I can hear a little bit, but you're kind of frozen. Are you on a wire, Wi-Fi or live wire connection?
I am on now. Can you hear me?
Yes, now
Okay, good.
I can.
I was tethered, but I don't know. The tether fell off for some reason. I definitely was on a more secure line, but I just
Oh,
noticed it
okay.
fell off.
Maybe I don't know
Okay.
if you remember the sentence, but you were saying the most important thing.
Right before that, what did I say? Do you remember?
Well, I think we were talking about people who stay in it.
Yes. Okay. So the most important thing to realize about unicorn energy is that it's not about perfection. It's about reaching a flow state of excellence that everyone is proud of in terms of like the daily, the monthly, and the yearly results of what the company is trying to achieve and what the brand is trying to produce. And so when I talk about like donkey energy versus unicorn energy, it's not about people or donkeys. I think we all have our donkey days. Does that make sense? Like we all have days where we're not at our best or we're not feeling it, if you will. And that's sometimes physical, mental, emotional, all the things. But what we're really just trying to achieve is like unicorn behaviors. Like people are not unicorns or donkeys. It's behaviors that are unicorn or donkey, I like to say in the book. You know, you're looking for when are we not playing at our highest? selves, and how are we adapting to where the business needs to go? And so the book itself provides a framework of how to manage that, especially through what I call healthy friction moments. Like, friction is a concept that's required for you to grow and for you to shift and for you to actually be a bigger contributor to your own life and to people's lives. And I think we live in a world where people are afraid of friction. They're afraid to like face, friction. And I'm like, no, there's a difference between healthy friction and unhealthy friction. And healthy friction is, oh, is this opportunity allowing me to play bigger? Is it allowing me to contribute more? Is it allowing me to be a part of something bigger than myself? And unhealthy friction is, when you're in situations where you're choosing things that aren't made for you. And so I think this book allows you to also decide when you're a leader whether you're supposed to stay in a situation or not. And if the whole team, but especially the founder, understands this, you're going to be able to communicate with your team a lot better. And so, because at the end of the day, it's about communication.
Is there an example of a company you can think of where and I think you do this in your book, where you say who's the visionizer, who's the strategist, and who's the mobilizer of the company?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many examples, but I'll think of one like that might be more mainstream. Maybe listeners, you're familiar with the brand Kendra Scott. Kendra Scott is a jewelry brand founded by a woman named Kendra Scott, and Kendra Scott is what I call a visionizing mobilizer. She was a jewelry and hat designer. She wasn't some big CEO thinker, et cetera, when she started the brand. And she realized after she started her first couple stores that what she was really good was community building. But what she wasn't good at was making sure that she could get a footprint. And so she wanted Kendra Scott to be the Starbucks of jewelry. And she wanted to find somebody who could help her mobilize and strategize that way of expanding her brand. And so she thought, if I want to be like Starbucks, I should go find the guy at Starbucks who did that for Starbucks. And so she stalked him, if you will, friendly stalking, messaged him on LinkedIn, tried to get meetings with him, and said, look, I will take no salary if you will come and you will help me expand the footprint of the brand. And he had already made millions and millions of dollars by being the Starbucks strategizer and mobilizer who brought things to life. And his name is Lynn Weingart. And finally, after many, many tries, he said, look, I'll take a chance on you. Let's try it on for a year and we'll see what happens. And it was by him finally saying yes, because she never gave up on enrolling him into her vision. Because she was like, I'm not the most savvy businesswoman. But she was a hard worker and she was committed to her vision. That's a very MV kind of energy. It was like part of what she did is she got him to say yes, and then that is what turned her company into a $1 billion valuation brand and changed the trajectory of her business. And she started out as a one person, like she had a hat company, closed that store down, and then she went door to door, like selling her jewelry to small boutiques. So I like to tell people when they hear me and say, oh, well, you talk about Steve Jobs or you talk about Kendra Scott, and that has nothing to do with me. And I'm like, no, actually, every single person we admire started small, very small, in a kitchen, at medical school with a different type of vision for themselves. And they decided on how big they wanted to make it. And again, someone's big is not the point here. So it's like you don't have to have the Kendra Scott vision. You just have to have your vision. And then your job is to enroll people into that vision. And that's what the book is really about. It's like, how do you enroll people and keep them committed to the bigger thing? And so the model inside of the book helps you do that.
It's really fascinating because I think we don't take enough time to figure our own self out, where our strengths and weaknesses are as leaders. We just like charge ahead without thinking, I should outsource this because I'm not good at it. But
Yes.
talk a little bit about in your book about brand casting. Explain what is brand casting and how it's made of value stories and outcomes.
Yeah, so brand casting is the first step in deciding whether you want to bring a new idea to life. So the brand cast is a way for a visionizer role to sort out all of the things around it before you even bring it to your team. Because part of the turbulence on a team is when the leader, the head leader, if you will, because they're all, everyone on the team has a leadership ability, but the person who's in charge, right? If they just always throw ideas at their team, it starts to cause friction and chaos that hurt the momentum of the team. And so the brand cast is an exercise and a process by which, as a visionizer, as a founder, that you evaluate yourself in relationship to this new idea so that you can defend the idea after you've thrown it over the wall to go and pursue. So the brand cast is a really nice way to encapsulate your idea and present it to other people so that they can not only just get enrolled, but they can understand why it fits who you are, what the mission and vision are. And so when we talk about value stories and outcomes, values are, what are the values of the founder and also what are the values of the company or the brand? The stories are, what are the actual approachability and authority stories that are related to this idea? How is this idea going to help strengthen the storytelling of the brand? And then finally, what are the outcomes that will this idea will help the company create? Because a lot of times we don't think of ideas in that way. We don't, we just think, okay, this is a great idea, let's go pursue it. But if you can actually put it in what I call a brand cast, which is I actually give you a template, it's free in the book, that you can just kind of document really quick what those are. You can even throw those questions into ChatGPT and then put them into a document so that when you have a team meeting and you say, hey guys, I want to execute this new idea, you can do it in a way that gets them to go, oh, I understand why this is important. Not just where they're like, oh, Dr. K, you're the boss, so I should just do it because you said so. It's they understand, oh, this is really important to the mission. And Dr. K has thought it through a little bit, right? And it doesn't have to take a long time. Like a brand cast can be done in 15 minutes, right? But we don't take the time a lot of times to filter out our ideas. You and I were talking about when I came into your office, I don't know if you remember a few months ago, where I was like, I think Dr. K needs another book. Like she needs a book. We need to hear from her more about, her philosophies and how she thinks differently about beauty and all of the things that she does to support people, humans, in their definition of beauty. And a book is a new idea. It would take work. It would take you deciding to do that. And a brand cast is a way for you to sort out why would I do this book? Why is it important? How does it trade off with what I'm currently doing? And so my book helps your new ideas prioritize themselves in relationship to the bigger picture that you have for your business and your life.
Wow. Okay, that'll be a big project. But
Yeah.
it's inking. It's in here.
Yeah.
I have to incubate it, but I think as an aesthetic practice, you've coached so many leaders, and there's a lot of people listening right now who are in aesthetics, they're injectors, they're starting their brand.
Yep.
Can you explain this whole concept of the brand time framework and how
Yeah.
beauty or a wellness professional apply that in their own practice?
I love this question because actually, one of the a top podcast actually in the beauty space, Addo Aesthetics. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but she's a business consultant for aesthetics companies, and she bought 200 of my books for her clients because she was like, "I need people in wellness and beauty and spas and to understand how to run their teams because part of the it's interesting. Everybody looks at a beauty practice as, oh, you're beautifying people, but the human part of it, the like overhead, the cost of doing business, the training of the team, all of that is what a lot of people don't see is a big friction point, for you. And so if you're just starting out, what I want you to be thinking about how you could even use my book to support you is what are all the ideas that that make you different from other people in your field, but what are the things that also make you exactly the same as other people in your field, which is a good thing, meaning like the level of excellence, the level of safety, the level of care, right? It's not just about being different, it's also being trusted. And so you need that mix of trust and difference in establishing your brand. So what are the ideas, the stories that you could be telling around that? And the second thing is, who do you really need as part of your team? Part of your team could be, I need continuing education. Maybe Dr. K is one of the unicorns in your skills development that you need as a leader, right? And so you're looking at who are the unicorns that are my teachers in terms of whether it's on the clinical side or the running the business side. Those are one type of unicorn. And your mentors are on your unicorn team. I want to be clear. It's not just the team that reports to you. It's like they're all influencing your ability to grow and get better. So there's that piece. Then there's the piece of like, in this first season of my aesthetic career, let's say you're in startup mode. What do I need now? And for some of you, you don't need, to build an entire practice or get a, million-dollar loan. Maybe that's what you want, but maybe it's, oh, I'm gonna go and become and work with like one of the greats so that I can really get really good at this instead of like going off on my own. Maybe, right? Or maybe it's, I'm gonna go get a small practice and I'm gonna learn one platform that will allow ideal clients to come to me. So maybe that's Instagram, right? Maybe that's a place where you're like, I'm gonna go and invest in my time and my energy to learn how to be better on Instagram to call in the right clients. And therefore, I need a part-time person to help me with that. So what the book helps you do is like, again, what are the ideas? What do I need to do for the next 100 days to make that idea come to life? And the who do I need in order to make that happen? Because a team does not have to be, again, a million people. It can be who's the team you need for the season that you're in and the season that you're going. And then you make adjustments as you go. And then what's going to emerge over time is that there's some people that are just going to be with you forever. Like you're going to have your one or two people that in your company, as you develop and grow it, are going to stick around. I have that person. Her name is Sarah. She's been with me for 12 years. And we keep reinvesting in each other because we just get each other and it's not perfect, but she realizes, like she's been told many times, you should go off on your own. You should like work on your own. And every single time she's thought about doing that, we've had that conversation. I'm like, I will support you because she has been ride or die for me. But then she's like, you know what? I hate sales and marketing. I don't want to go find my own clients. I like servicing the people with you, right? And it's like when you have that outside noise, right? It's easy to get distracted, right? And that's why it's really important. I think my book is a way for your team, for you first as a leader to focus. And then number two, for you guys to have a system that you're using to evaluate what kind of changes do we want to make? So if you're just starting out, I say use this book early and often. People tell me, I wrote this book not so you would read it. I wrote this book so you would use it. And I think that a lot of times we read a book and we're like, oh, good ideas. Let me take one thing. I'm like, actually implement the Unicorn Team system into your practice early. And you will start to make better decisions about who to hire, both on the clinical side and the admin side and the marketing side. And you'll be braver when you have to like shift and move into different directions. And you're going to need that bravery and that courage because this is the long game. You want short-term wins and a long game view. And that's what I want you to all like, if you're running an aesthetic practice, that's what it is, like short-term wins, long game view. Look at ways that you can, instead of like getting new clients after a couple seasons, like how can I make current clients keep coming back instead, right? Because that's where the bigger money and opportunity is like how can you make clients so excited that they become your marketing machine? And in order to do that, you can't be stuck in just the clinical work. You have to actually rise above the clinical work and think like an owner, right? And so that's what this book helps you do. It kind of stays with you no matter how big or small you
Yeah,
become.
and that's your identity. That's messaging and the whole patient experience that you create for people. And
Totally.
like, yeah, that's so important to visualize ahead of time because you have to be the captain of the ship and communicate that to everyone who helps fly the plane.
Yeah, and it's not easy. So I just want to acknowledge that. Like that is not easy. And that's why a lot of times only people who are the head of a company are seen as the unicorn. Like they're the only unicorn. And my premise, my offer to you all listening is actually, there are other people on your team who want to be unicorns on their team. They want to contribute bigger, and it requires the head unicorn to take a beat, to do tools like the Brandcast that we talked about just a few minutes ago, where actually, Dr. K, you're busy as heck. I know you also have a family. You've got like a lot of things going on, And it's like if you put aside 2 hours a month to just Brandcast the next quarter, you'll start to see that's one thing, easy thing. I'm not saying it's easy to give up 2 hours. It can be an hour, but to put it on the calendar, I'm going to Brandcast, which is basically your future casting of like, what is the next couple quarters going to look like? And then get into a ritual where when you have team meetings to open up the meeting using the Brandcast and saying, this is kind of, where I see us going. It's going to change a lot of how your team operates. And again, if you're just starting out, Brandcast with yourself so you get clear. Like you get clear with yourself before you even enroll other people, or get as clear as possible. You don't have to be ready or 100% clear to move. You definitely should not do that, but you want to have a tool that you can use to do that, and that's what the Brandcast is in the book.
That's so critical. I feel like we should all take time to do that, but sometimes you get a vision or I get an idea. And then I feel like I have all this power and energy going towards it. And then I lose a little steam or a little confidence or have a little self-doubt creep in. And then suddenly the brakes are put on. It's funny, it's a psychological thing because I still know intellectually it's a great idea and I know I can handle it and do it, but I felt the doubt creep in and then it's giving me all the brakes on the process. What do you do then?
I mean, you just got to acknowledge that you're human, because that's the other thing. No one thinks, those of us that do what is perceived as the big work to like lead, do big things, lead a team, be on social media, we are just as human as the next person. So when I say my only advice is acknowledge that that's normal. It would be weird if we didn't feel a sense of doubt, because we're not superhuman. It appears to some people that we are, but it's just like take a beat. What I do is I just take a beat and go, ah, oh, congratulations, you're human. Or I also like to say, you're such a silly human. Like that's, I just kind of break it up when it just helps me, these little things that I do with myself. I'll just go, oh, you're such a silly human. Like, of course you feel scared about that. Or of course, you're disappointed that that idea still hasn't taken flight because you have so much going on. And so I think it's more about acknowledgement instead of like bypassing the feeling, but also because you break it up with some humor. I think humor, if you can just break it up and go, silly human, of course you're feeling that way. That way we're not staying in it. And if you noticed, if you start to notice you're staying in it, because I've definitely have those thoughts. And hello, I'm perimenopausal. There's all kind of hormonal changes going on. When I'm starting to feel a darkness around those thoughts, because I do, and I'm sure you do, Dr. K, because you're human, what I do is I just go, oh, I need to take a walk, or I need to like sit in my room for 5 minutes and not talk to anybody. So it's that self-regulation. And self-regulation comes with the ability to, again, take a beat. So that's my best advice.
I think that's so valuable because you are going to have self-doubts and you'd be crazy if you didn't pause and think, can I really accomplish this? But you have to coach yourself back, I think, into the right mindset, right?
Yes.
Talk a little bit about leadership presence and brand perception. In this day and age, personal appearance is very, focused on with social media, but how do we balance kind of authenticity with who we really are with presentation? Do you always have to show up all done up and in your brand?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think the key before even answering that is knowing yourself. And so, for me, for example, I do both. Like, some days I just want to turn the video on and just talk into the camera right after I wake up. And then there's days where I know, like, oh, I'm having a formal-ish kind of podcast interview, so I want to present my best self as, I do think I have a true belief that for me, when I look good, I feel good. Like, look good for me, not look good for others, but look good. Like, when I look in the camera, that I'm proud of myself, not from a place of trying to keep up with the social media Joneses, but really more from a place of like, this is kind of how I like to show up when I'm having, let's say, a nice conversation with somebody who's one of my doctors. Dr. K is my one of my aesthetic doctors. I fly to LA to see her because I
Oh my
only
God,
trust
you're
her with
so
my face.
sweet. You're
Because
so
it's
sweet.
true. I mean,
Well, I
I don't
love
know.
how transparent you are. People don't talk about this enough.
Because it's, if I took great care in like how I want to look, and I'm 51 years old, and for me, I still haven't gone like fully under the knife. I'm just going to say it completely transparent. But I want to look fresh. I want to look awake. And so I feel like, and if I choose to do something even more extensive, what I want to feel is, does that make me feel good? It's more about, does that make me feel good? And to me, that's what authenticity is. It's like, does it make me feel good? If I'm only doing it because I want other people to feel good, then I feel like that's the difference. And so I don't think you have to get dressed up every single time you show up on camera if that's not authentic to you. But if it is authentic to you, then you're not being fake. Meaning, like, if you look polished all the time and that is actually who you are all the time, that's real. And if other people judge that, that's them. It's only if you're feeling like you have to do it, because if you don't do it, you're not going to be accepted or loved. That's the bigger issue. And I feel like there's a lot of, ex as many examples as there are of, like, let's call it like what I call societal standards of beauty. We'll call it that versus like, I don't know, just being completely like your hot mess self, I call it, like, which I do both. There's examples of both in every platform, and I think they're all good. It's when you can tell, like, that they're trying too hard, and you can tell. There's a point where you start to notice it's not authentic and that they're trying really hard. 'Cause I was like, oh my God, content creation is so much work. People don't realize, like, if you got to get dressed up every single day to do your content creation and it doesn't feel good, then something is misaligned. I personally don't want to dress up every day to do content creation. That's why when I do, you do see me online, you'll see me doing both, because I'm just like, I do it based on my energy. I don't do it based on, I just don't have the energy to like always look polished. I just don't. So,
I'm with you. Like sometimes it's a scrubs day.
yes, I love you on Scrubs Day. I see you on Scrubs Day,
I mean, I feel like that's where like you feel like you could just be yourself and you don't have to worry about external trappings. And I totally understand Steve Jobs wanting to wear black every day because one less decision you have to make, you know?
It's big. And some days I wish I didn't love fashion so much because it would make my life easier.
Yeah. I mean, I have a whole closet of clothes and I just want to wear scrubs all day.
Yes.
But
Same.
I think if there are people out there listening who have their one big idea, but no clue how to start, what's the first step they should take?
The first step, I'm going to keep going back to the brand casting, because I think it is a powerful tool for you to dump all your thoughts out, without judgment from yourself or others, and then sort them out and start to shape and sculpt them. Like I say, have fun with it. Have fun with the brand cast. Let the structure that I provide in the book through the brand cast to actually allow you to get into a flow state for your ideas to come out. A lot of people think, oh, to be creative, I don't need structure. Actually, science proves that's not true. We actually need structure to create freedom and flow. That is the yin and the yang. It needs, for your ideas to come to life, you need some, it's like a riverbed. You can't have a raging river. You need the ability for the river to take, like, to move, right? And so my book and the brand cast specifically as a tool in the book allow, it's a strategic structure that allows your vision to start to take shape. And I think that's when we get devastated, is when we're like, our ideas are good, but they're not coming to life. And I want you to hear, like, your ideas are good. Not all ideas are worth pursuing. And the brand cast allows you to realize which ideas are worth your energy and what ideas are not worth your energy. It doesn't mean the idea isn't worthy. It means that it's not worth your energy right now. And that will give you a sense of peace and purpose that will allow that idea to happen faster. And that's the goal. And so I hope you use that tool at the minimum. And you also, I think that the next tool that you should take is the Unicorn Leadership Type Assessment that is in the book. There's a link in the book that allows you to take that assessment. And it is a full diagnostic. It's not some Disney Princess quiz that just gives you like a top level. It's an actual like deep look at what energetically makes you show up even when times are hard, and gives you a 47-page report about yourself that you can really show you where that energy comes from so that you can match your idea with the energy required to make it happen. So that's my
That's so
recommendation.
great. Next time you're in the office, I'm gonna make the staff and the team take the test and everybody figure out who they are in this equation.
Yeah,
So
I'll send
curious to
you.
see. I feel like Carmen is the sage and like the strat, the one who sees 5 steps ahead and feels things out. I'm
I see
the
that.
visionary, and then I have a whole crew of mobilizers that are
Yes, I see that. I
moving
see
forward.
Carmen is the strategic glue. I've observed that as a patient of yours. I'm like, oh, because I see everything as unicorn team. That's the thing. Like once I walk into something, and even me choosing a practitioner now, so for all of you listening, I'm looking for unicorn team level stuff. So even me being a client of yours, Dr. K, what you did, I don't know if you realize, is I'm using the same things to evaluate who are the brands I trust to take care of me to, and that means I would get on a plane, train, or automobile to do that. And that's the kind of thing we want out of our, it's like through our team, our internal team is how external people experience your brand. And that's why this is so important not to separate from branding.
Well, I think in everything you do, you want people who have a bigger vision and picture for what they are and what they're doing and with their lives and their mission and their purpose, and they surround themselves with that energy. Because, I mean, you can find business people everywhere, but it's hard to find these teams that are so integrative and visionized and, like moving the needle.
Yeah,
I
and it's
love
not
that.
about perfection. It's not about perfection. I just want everybody to hear that. This is about being a team, being a leader that other people are really impressed with because it's real. And that's what it is. I mean, Steve Jobs got a lot of blows. Every single person who has been in a leadership position has taken a lot of blows, has taken a lot of losses. In fact, more L's than W's, guaranteed, so just know that like this is not about perfection. And I really want to emphasize that because especially I think in the aesthetic world, this societal expectation for perfection, both physically and even in your business, it's a lot to carry. And I just want you to hear me that like you're a human being, you're going to make a ton of mistakes. We just want you to make less of them because we need your energy specifically associated with winning.
Well, I think this has been so fascinating. I want to end. Let's end with some quick beauty questions. Like just
Yeah.
one in rapid fire. I'm going to ask,
Fun.
are you a morning person or a night person?
Oh,
Late
night
night owl.
person.
Late
Night,
night
night, night,
owl. Okay,
night.
coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee all day.
Same. Yoga or jogging?
Oh, yoga. I jogging, no. I don't like to run.
All right. Rom-coms or action adventure?
Oh my gosh, that's hard. I'll go with rom-com, but it's just like 2 degrees over. That's it.
That's so true. Depends on the mood, right?
Yes.
What's your current beauty obsession?
Oh, my current beauty obsession. Actually, I'm using this new lip thing called Skin. It's by Skin, and I love it. It's like it's very moisturizing, but it plumps the lips and stuff. So I'm using it. I'm digging it. So that's what I'm using right now. I don't even have lipstick on right now. I like don't even want to wear lipstick because of it.
I love it. Morning routine must have.
Oh, I think like at, this is going to sound so basic, but brushing my teeth with a sonic toothbrush. I know that sounds like whatever,
Oh
but
no, I fully believe in that. Yes.
if like when I like I one time I forgot it on a trip and I had to brush it with like and I didn't feel good the whole trip.
I
It felt so weird, but I feel like sonic
know.
cleanse in my mouth makes me feel like I'm having a great day.
Yeah. Electric toothbrush all the way.
Yeah.
Once you try it, you can never go back to regular. Do you have any favorite supplements or longevity type of hacks that you're doing right now?
Yeah, you know, you're going to probably say this better than me, but you know that is it niacinamide? Is that what it is?
Niacinamide, yeah.
Yeah, like I take a supplement for that every night, and I feel like ever since I started taking that for 6 months, it's keeping up some of the work that I go see Dr. K for better. I just feel like just maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know if it's placebo, but it feels like it's really good. I take a gummy every night, and then I take magnesium every night too for sleep. And then for me, because I'm perimenopausal, being on HRT, specifically progesterone every night has helped me sleep better because sleep has been the hardest thing the past couple years for me. And so getting sleep just overall is like anything that helps me get better sleep, that I'll try anything for it.
Those are all great ones. The niacinamide or nicotinamide, those feed into NAD pathways. So that kind of boosts your natural NAD level, which gives you energy and cellular repair. So it's not fake. What's a quote or mantra that you live by?
I'll close with what I opened up with, which is repetition is the mother of mastery. And so anything I want to master, I need to be the best apprentice for every single day. And so that's kind of what I live for.
That is a very appropriate way to close because that's true. 10,000 hours, you got to put the time in.
Yeah.
Hard work. Well, this has been so fabulous. I hope everybody's going to go out there and read your book, The Unicorn Team. I'm so proud of you for writing this book. It's really a passion project to get all of your thinking and things you've noticed about business and the world and put it into a way that we can read it and connect with so many people out there. You've brought leadership to so many fabulous teams. So I can't wait to integrate this into our practice as well. Where can people buy the book and find you, Jen?
Well, it's easy to get the book on Amazon. In fact, the hardcover is a phenomenal price at the time of this recording. So, you know, and of course, I'm big on bookstores. So, anywhere there's a local bookstore, if they don't have it in stock, you just have to ask them. They'll send it right to you. I think a lot of people don't know that. So, if you want to support a small retailer and you love your local bookstore, if you don't see the book, all you have to do is ask them to do it. And they get that money, they get that credit. And I think that's really important. And finally, if you have a Spotify premium account, a lot of people don't know this, but my book is free on audio on Spotify Premium. So if you have that and you're already doing it to listen to music, and there's a lot of books you might love that are free on Spotify Premium that I think people don't know about because a lot of people go to Audible, which I love too. But if you have Spotify Premium, listen to it on audio. But I
I
think the
never
best
knew that.
experience is having it in the hardcover because there are a lot of tools that I give you in the book. So if you love listening, I say get the hardcover and listen. Then it's like I'm your teacher in your ear with the hardcover.
Well, that's perfect. And your Instagram handle?
It's at jennifer.kem, KEM.
Perfect. Well, that's it for now, guys. I hope you learned a lot about becoming your own brand identity and developing a unicorn team around yourself. I know I'm going to take a lot of this to heart. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DRKAY, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same as
She does.
beautybydrk.com. And that's where you can find my amazing lip plumper. Next time you're here, I'm going to get you some. It has peptides for fine lines, sunscreen, and it also plumps like a syringe of filler.
Oh, I
But
need that.
yeah, I'd love to get you some of that to try. That's it for now, guys. Be a unicorn and stay beautiful.